Excuse me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 11, chapter 19, verse 5. Verse number 5. Tasma janena sahitam. Tasma janena samhitam. Jatnyatva satmanam udava. Jatnyatva svatmanam udava. Jnana vijnana sampano. Jnana vijnana sampano. Bhajamam bhakti bhavataha. Bhajaman bhakti bhavataha. Tasmajnanena sahitam. Jnatva satmanam udava. Jnana vijnana sampano. Bhajamam bhakti bhavataha. Bhajamam bhakti bhavataha. Tasmat. Thereafter, jnanena, knowledge, sahitam, with, jnatva, knowing, svaatmanam, your own self, udava, my dear udava, jnana, the Vedic knowledge, vijnana, the clear realization, sapanaha, accomplished, bhaja, worship, mam, me, bhakti, of loving devotion, bhavataha, in the mood, excuse me, translation, and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai Prabhupada. Translation. Therefore, my dear Uddhava, through knowledge, you should understand your actual self. Then, advancing by clear realization of Vedic knowledge, you should worship me in the mood of loving devotion. Please repeat. Therefore, my dear Uddhava, through knowledge, you should understand your actual self. Then, advancing by clear realization of Vedic knowledge, you should worship me in the mood of loving devotion. Purport. The word vijnana indicates realized knowledge of one's original spiritual form. Every living entity has an eternal spiritual form, which lies dormant until one arouses one's original Krishna consciousness. Without knowledge of one's own spiritual personality, it is not possible to cultivate love of the Supreme Personality, Lord Krishna. Therefore, the words jnatva satmanam are significant here, indicating that every living entity can realize his full potential as an individual person only in the kingdom of God. Om Gyanam Tinamandasya Jananjanan Salakaya Chakshuru and Militam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Svampadantikam. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master is opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto the dust of his lotus feet.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasnaya Bhutale Shrimati Tamo Krishna Goswami Niti Namani. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasnaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavari Paskatadi Shatarine. Vanchakalpa Tarubhascha Kripa Sindhavasivacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Excuse me. So we're reading from the Spotless Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 19, Text Number 5. And this is very much. This verse reminds us of a verse in the Gita, right? Did anybody else? I haven't had a chance to prepare. I didn't have a chance to prepare for class. I would have looked it up. But there's one verse that this is just exactly almost the same as. And to understand your actual self by clear realization of Vedic knowledge, worship me in the mood of loving devotion. Is that at the end of Bhagavad Gita? It's probably in the middle section and at the end there's a section. Worship me and you will come to me. 1868. Yeah, I should know this by now. It's terrible, isn't it? Always think of me. Yeah, that's it. Man mana bhava man bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evasyasi tatvam te pratijana priyo si me. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. This is the ultimate conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, right? Chapter 18, text 65. Thanks, Prabhu. And it's such a basic and wonderful and hopeful verse, right? Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage to me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of Him and act for Him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours, he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form, with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. Excuse me. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multiforms, such as Vishnu, Narayan, Ram, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge. And this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. Wow. So Srila Prabhupada is making it really clear. We have to follow
in the path of the great Mahajans, right? The great devotees like Arjuna. And, the example that they set is they always followed the instructions of their spiritual master, right? They always had guru. They always had advisors. And it's amazing, so often in the pastimes of Krishna and the devotees of Krishna, who is the guru that comes and appears to make things happen and to give Krishna's knowledge to the souls that are calling out or seeking for it to help Krishna in his pastimes. Narada Muni, right? Sri Narada Muni. He always appears. He acts as guru. He's the transcendental spaceman. He travels freely throughout the material worlds and the spiritual worlds, giving love of Godhead, establishing love of Godhead in a devotee's heart, sometimes for the first time. The devotees are calling out, right? When we were first, before we became devotees, we were living our lives, but we were unhappy. We were calling out in our heart. There was something in our heart that was there that Krishna knew he was going to send guru to us in a very special way. The devotees of the Hare Krishna movement are so fortunate because the hardest thing to get has been done for us. We've received the mercy of a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's followers, the gurus of our movement. And so it's so wonderful to think that key requirement Krishna has provided to us, that we have a spiritual master, that we have bona fide literature that we can study and read. We can read Srila Prabhupada's purports. They're what Prabhupada said himself. Srila Prabhupada's own words, Srila Prabhupada's own thoughts, Srila Prabhupada's synthesis of the previous acharyas. He would read the purports of the previous acharyas, then he would translate Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and give us the meaning, an explanation of the meaning of these very esoteric topics. And it seems easy, doesn't it? These topics seem easy when we read them that Srila Prabhupada gave them to us. He makes it easy. He makes it understandable. Let's not say he makes it easy, but he makes it understandable. Without Srila Prabhupada, this knowledge cannot be understood. His Holiness Umapati Maharaj, when he was a young devotee just joining, he was one of Srila Prabhupada's first disciples. He said, "We all read Bhagavad Gita before we even met the Swami. Before we even met Srila Prabhupada, they'd all read Bhagavad Gita's different translations." He said, "We never understood it. We did not understand Bhagavad Gita. Nobody understood Bhagavad Gita until Srila Prabhupada came and presented Bhagavad Gita as it is. Krishna is not a metaphor. He's not symbolic. He is not a literary device created by some author who wrote Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna and written down for our benefit. Spoken by Krishna himself. So Krishna is a historical personality, you know, in the history of the world, because he appeared, right, 5,000 years ago. But he's also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who would take such a humble position and come down on this planet to conduct his pastimes, to help his devotees, to show us this is how to love God. This is how to love Krishna. Krishna giving us so much wonderful knowledge of him. And not even just that, because Krishna had his pastimes. He spoke Bhagavad Gita. It takes a pure devotee to translate that dialogue and explain it to us in a way we can understand. Because Umapati Maharaj, he pointed out, nobody understood Bhagavad Gita until Srila Prabhupada. When I first read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, I didn't like it because I'd read all these other Bhagavad Gitas and I was attached to this flowery language or poetic renditions, and I liked the 12th chapter and I liked this chapter. But Prabhupada said he broke all that down. He pushed all that nonsense out. He said, no, this is about Krishna. And so in every single verse of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada translated, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, said." It's Krishna speaking. And if you tell people this on the street, you can have a book placed in your hands and you can open it and read it and read what God actually said. Wow. Don't you think a lot of people go, really? Yes, it's true. This is God's dialogue with a warrior right before he goes into battle. And he's having all these second thoughts and loss of confidence and other people he doesn't want to have to kill. Christian says, gives us an explanation of everything while he talks to Arjuna. What? In 30, 40 minutes, 20 minutes it took Krishna to speak Bhagavad Gita to Uddhava. And how many lifetimes we have to study it? 20 minutes, but millions of lifetimes, maybe. Well, let's not spend millions of lifetimes studying Bhagavad Gita. Actually, we already have, right? We've already been yogis. We've been through all that, lived in Himalayas, studied Ramayana, studied this, studied that, knew all the Vedas. We've studied all the Vedas. We finally took birth in a position where we met the devotees, the Hare Krishna devotees. The supremely wonderful Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, inaugurated by Krishna himself, coming as his own devotee. That's another one. And you really can't tell people that on the street, can you? You know, we just had Prabhu here. He's the book distributor. He's the minister for book distribution and the whole movement. And it was so nice having him here, the classes he gave. But think about it. When you go give a book to somebody, I know Donna Kaley Prabhu's here. He did book distribution. You can't tell him everything, right? Like, sometimes, you know, I want to tell somebody the most tasty thing about Krishna, but they may not be ready for it. Because why? They won't believe it, right? This is confidential. This particular understanding that you can become Krishna's friend, if you think of Krishna all the time, you go back to Krishna. Wow. It's that easy? Yeah, it's that easy. But it's also difficult at the same time. You know, there's the whole explanation we give of our senses. We're a soul, we're not our body. And the soul is encaged. It's in jail. It's in the prison of the body. And we're going to get another prison body next birth unless we get out of this material world. And you know, how do you tell somebody that in a quick, concise way that they'll want to take the book, right? That's an art. The art of book distribution. And some devotees are so good at it, they can disarm people because their purity affects them. I saw this one time with a book distributor. I forget his name. You might remember Prabhu. He's married to a Japanese book distribution lady. Indranuja Prabhu. Yeah, Indranuja Prabhu. Amazing book. And his wife, forgive me, I forgot her name. Amazing book distribution couple. They live and travel the world just distributing books. That's all they do. And Krishna's made it possible for them to serve in this way. But one time I watched Indranuja Prabhu at the Deep Ellum Art Festival 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And I was trying to distribute books. I was a new book distributor trying to distribute books. And I wasn't doing very, very well and getting a little discouraged. So I ran across him. I walked by. He was there and I watched him for a while doing book distribution. And whenever anybody got in the immediate vicinity of him, within say 3 or 4 feet of his body, they entered a spiritual zone of sorts. And they were almost like they were just affected, like they had to listen. They were affected in such a way. He said things in such a way, and the force of his purity was such that I could see when people, he began to speak to people, they began to listen in a way that was almost beyond their own ability to say no. Like they couldn't even, they were like affected by the spirit, his purity and wanting to give them Krishna consciousness, his desire to help them, and him being such an expert book distributor, that they would hold a book and they'd be, these two girls were, I'll never forget it, they were there and there were guys next to him trying to pull them away. Trying to knock them out of focus. Tried to distract them. They weren't doing it on purpose, but they were just talking. But the girls couldn't stop what they were doing. And Indranuja Prabhu would remind them, you have the book, okay, donation. And then they just went into and pulled out their wallets and gave the donation. But it was astonishing to see how he had this effect
on the people that he was distributing his books to, that they were benefited so much, and his technique was so amazing. Now, I don't say that to mean we all have to be that good at book distribution. He's done it his whole life. I mean, even when I knew him then, he'd already done it for 10 years or 15 years. But the principle is there, that if we are pure, we don't become pure right away, right? But if we're taking a shower, if we're beginning the process of purifying ourselves, right? We're chanting, we're trying to chant, we're reading, we're trying to read, we're associating with devotees, we're trying to associate with devotees nicely. Krishna makes it the same, as if you were pure, as long as you're trying to be pure. Okay, we're not completely pure yet, but for purposes of preaching and doing service in Krishna consciousness, Krishna can make you pure and put you out there. And you can do things that are beyond your wildest imagination as a devotee trying to do devotional service. You'll do amazing things. I've seen other devotees do it. I've been lucky enough to feel it a little bit too, that Krishna's done things through me that were way beyond anything I could have done. It was not me. It wasn't any potency I had. But Krishna would do these amazing things. It's just like, wow. Harinams. For me, it's always been Harinam, because that's what I always like to do. So we'd take Harinam parties out. And the things that would happen on Harinam would just be astonishing. How people would be affected by the holy name, by hearing the holy name. See the devotees chanting and dancing. They would dance with us. They would say things to us. They would give us money. Sometimes what was most amazing is when the devotees, certain persons would attack, almost physically attack the kirtan party. And we had one time, this was very early on in my life as a devotee, we went to Deep Ellum and there was a band playing called Kula Shekhar, which was a band from devotee children, kids of the movement. Some of the members of that band were Guru Kulis, devotee kids. And so they were on tour and they were coming to Dallas, so we were outside the venue where they were going to play, and we were going different areas, and actually we're different areas in Deep Ellum, all around Deep Ellum. It was a big, you know, it's a big live music area. There's a number of clubs that have live music. So we're in front of a club called Trees. And there's a big line in front of Trees, people waiting to get in. The doors didn't open until after we were there, 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night. But the doors to Trees hadn't opened yet. And so there's a big line of people. So, hey, this is a great spot to do, you know, kirtan, you know, to do Harinam in front of the people. We probably had 10 devotees. Prajapati Prabhu was leading the party. And so he's leading and chanting, and there were two Christians there, and they had a little table that had something, and it was a big, huge guy and a little tiny woman, his wife or girlfriend, but she was much smaller than he was. But he took it upon himself to begin to berate the kirtan. He came up close to the kirtan. He was yelling Jesus and trying to shout us out, and it just made us go louder. You know, we have mridangas and hand cymbals. You cannot drown that out, no matter what you do, you know. And so we're making our kirtan gets even more ecstatic, and people are watching us and they're enjoying it. And he had this long red horn. It was a plastic horn like you used to see at football games, you know. It was long, and you blow into it, it makes a horrible sound, you know, it's terrible. So he's blowing his little horn, and he's, you know, and when people do that, it actually adds to the kirtan, right? They don't realize it, but they're actually joining in the kirtan. So anyway, he's trying to be obnoxious, and he was really obnoxious. And he even got to where he was bumping into devotees and trying to, and Prajapati was, I thought they were going to come to blows. I thought he was going to try to hit him. And Prajapati was arranging himself and pushing him back with his back, and the guy's back was on his back, and he was even abusing little people, you know, some of the younger people that were there, the shorter, small people, and he was putting the horn in their face and trying to blow it at him. So it was just really, he's being obnoxious and putting on this obnoxious show, right, in the name of his Christianity. So I thought, oh, we got to go. Let's get out of here. This guy's going to try to attack. You know, we should move. And Prajapati's like, the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will never be thwarted, will never be stopped. We will never leave. We will never stop chanting. So he stayed right there. And so after a little bit of this, 5-10 minutes, the gentleman moves off. You know, he goes off to the side, and we stop the kirtan, take a breather, you know. So he moves off maybe 20 feet. And then Prajapati says, decides to start the Lord Nisringadeva prayer. And I was like, oh wow, I gotta see this. So I turned to look at the guy because I knew he was gonna get creamed. I knew he was. Something in my heart told me he's gonna be in trouble. And sure enough, we start the Lord Nisringadeva prayer and he gets upset again and he comes at us. And he's like, "Urgh." And out of nowhere, somebody inside the club trees, a big, huge security guy with a black t-shirt and the shirt said security right across. And he was as big as a barrel. He was wide. He was 4 feet wide, 5.5 feet. It wasn't that tall. Anyway, he comes out of the club, comes through the people, comes at the guy, just gets right in his face and pushes him back away from the devotees. Just pushes him like this. I thought he was going to hit him in the face, but he didn't. He just pushed him back and pushed him away from the devotees. Everybody cheered. The devotees cheered, and all of the people in line, there were 200 people in line, every one of them cheered when that guy got pushed away. So I told that story to Urjaswat Prabhu, and he said, I've seen it a thousand times, Dharma. Krishna always protects his devotees. And so these things may not sound extraordinary to somebody on the street. They'll just say, oh, well, just, you know. But to us, we know that the source of these things is Krishna, that Krishna was protecting his devotees in a very special way. So that's something I got to experience. And that's something that when you begin as devotees and you do perform service in Krishna consciousness, these extraordinary things will happen. We know from the life of Srila Prabhupada was incredibly, incredibly amazing things that happened, how Prabhupada was empowered, you know. So we're so fortunate to have this knowledge. The performance of these activities gives us the qualification to understand who we are in Krishna's Leela. That's the point of these verses, that we have to perform Krishna consciousness in disciplic succession under the authority of the spiritual masters, under the authority of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and with the help of other devotees. If we don't have the help of other devotees, we're not going to pursue Krishna consciousness properly. Our own minds are too powerful and they're too powerfully affected, you know, by past conditioning, right? And joy. Our senses are always pushing, enjoy. But the way to conquer that is to give them enjoyment in Krishna consciousness, right? I mean, there's nothing more fun than being on a Harinam party and seeing people smile and be happy and knowing that the best part of their night is going to be having seen the devotees. You know, we saw that the other day. We did kirtan we did Harinam at the Halloween party on block party on Oak Lawn, Cedar Springs. They close off Cedar Springs. It's a big party. Everybody's wearing clothes. They want to have a good time. And really all they do to have a good time is come and look at each other's costumes, you know, and they take pictures of each other and they say, oh, you got a great costume. They say, you do too. You know, that's it. That's pretty much their evening. You know, they take intoxication to do other stuff, but most people just come for that. I mean, you know, after about 5 minutes of that, it gets old, you know, because everybody's got the same thing on, you know, they're thousands of the same costumes. These guys dress as Kiss every year. I don't remember the rock band Kiss, right? Every year, the same outfit, the same place, they're there. It's like, you know, the first year you see it is pretty cool. Like, to dress as Kiss is pretty amazing, right? That's not easy. They have these elaborate, weird. They're dressed as rakshasas, basically. They're rakshasas. That's what rakshasas look like. And so, you know, the first 5 years you see it, okay, year one is pretty amazing. Year two, that's cool. Year three, you guys are still coming as this. Anyway, the point is, they're really not having that much fun. It's not that original. It's not new. But they see the devotees chanting. And suddenly they're more affected by that than anything they're going to do anywhere else, right? They dance with us. They say, who are you guys? You know, we give them a card, come to the temple. Yeah, this is a way of worshiping God. This is a way of purifying your consciousness. That usually surprises people. They don't ask a lot of questions after that. Sometimes they do. They'll stay. What's the chant? How do I chant? What's the mantra? You know, so the wonderful thing is, you know, that for a lot of these people, that's their seed, you know, that's their early first time they met or heard the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. excuse me, that's the first time they saw devotees. They got to see the Sankirtan party of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even if it's a small one. Even if the devotees that are in it, like me, are still very neophyte and struggling, you know, to be a good devotee. Even if it's like that, still Krishna empowers that little group to give Krishna consciousness freely to save so many souls that see the group. Just seeing them, you know, that's the beginning, right? I remember when I was a teenager, I heard on TV this one comedy duo on Saturday Night Live. They were called Franken and Davis. They were a little show within a show, right? Saturday Night Live was a big deal in the 1970s. Late 70s, they ruled. I mean, they set up things that affected society for years for comedy and certain, you know, trends. And there was this duo on there, and they did a little skit about Hare Krishna. One of the guys had become a Hare Krishna, and he had the Sika and everything. He said, you know, Tom, I'm quitting the act. This was Al Davis. Al Franken and Tom Davis. So Al was the guy that had become the Hare Krishna. Tom Davis was his sidekick, his comedy partner. And so Tom is like, oh, you become a Hare Krishna. You're not going to be in the group anymore. You don't want to be, you know, my comedy partner anymore. No, Tom, I'm going to chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare. He was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra on the show. I've become a Hare Krishna devotee, you know. And so Tom pulls some scissors out from behind his back and he cuts the Sika off of Al and he shows it to him. And Al goes, why'd you do that? Now I'm going to look like a Buddhist. And he attacks him, you know, so it was. But I, years later, I remembered seeing that after I had met the devotees. And I was like, wow, that was there, you know. Franken and Davis didn't know it, but they were giving Krishna consciousness to others in a way. They were setting up the things. And then the more times we hear it, movies in the 1970s began to feature scenes with devotees because it was funny. They would have comedy scenes with the devotees. Airplane, the movie. There's another movie in the 80s or 90s. This guy's on down run it anyway. I won't tell you the story. It's Michael Douglas is in the movie, and he's down on Venice Beach, and he runs past a kirtan party of devotees chanting. In the movie Blade Runner, the first Blade Runner, there's the cop is played by Harrison Ford. He's a policeman. He's trying to catch somebody through a busy, crowded street in 2020 Los Angeles. And he runs by a devotee chanting Hare Krishna. He's got a hood on and he's chanting Hare Krishna. So these things were there. These things are there. And they're special and they're unique. And they're we can be part of that. The more that we put ourselves into Krishna consciousness, into doing our service in such a way that we're giving Krishna to others. Okay, even if you don't do books, even if you don't do Harinam, you don't go out and try to tell people about Krishna, that's fine. But just be a good devotee. Be a sincere devotee. And it doesn't even mean, you know, it just means try. Okay, you make mistakes and we fall down, but that's all right. Keep trying, right? That's the point. Don't give up. And then Krishna, even if that's all we do, people are going to meet us and go, oh, wow, even if it's just our family members sometimes or our friends or our former friends, right? Most of my friends are pretty much done now. That's pretty shocking. My old friends, it's just, you know, you grow older, you grow away. It's hard to keep it together. What am I going to do with these people? I don't want to go out. I don't want to do what they still do. There's just nothing left, you know. So that, but they're affected by that. They're like, wow. You're still a Hare Krishna 20 years later? Yeah. You still don't do any of these things? No. Wow. They're like, they may not tell you that they're happy or impressed by that because they're your friends and they give you a hard time, right? At least my friends do. You know, they're not going to like just say, we really admire that you've done this in your life, you know? No, but inside they feel that way. Inside there's a begrudging respect or a sense of, you know, I'm pretty unhappy in my life, and he's doing something that's making him happy. You know what I mean? And they know it. People know it. So the people that you meet, you can affect them you can change them. And that's all it is. That's what Krishna consciousness is. It's affecting a change of consciousness in people's lives so that they stop being so conscious of themselves and their own enjoyment, and they become even just a tiny little bit conscious of pleasing Krishna, right? It's that simple. For new people, that's all we're trying to do. No, it's just about pleasing the senses of Krishna. You mean I can come to the temple and I can chant and dance, which is a lot of fun, and that pleases Krishna? Yeah. Krishna loves it when the devotees are here, people are here dancing in front of him. That's a way of worshiping the deity. That's as good as cooking for Krishna. That's as good as doing aarti for Krishna. That's as good as cleaning Krishna's temple. Yes, they're all the same. Krishna considers them all the same. The devotee that takes out the trash, the devotee that cleans the kitchen, cleans the bathrooms, cleans the temple room, cleans his altar, Krishna accepts it all as devotional service. Isn't that amazing? Who else could do something like that? Krishna is unbelievable. How he created everything, how it fits into place so intricately. The stars, the sun, the moon, the planets, earth, gravity, water, air, fire, ether. It's just astonishing, you know, and these little brain scientists just think, oh, it just came out of nothing. It just all exploded and it just happened. It's so silly. So I went a little bit over. I'm sorry. I started late. I got excited. I couldn't stop talking. Sorry. Any comments or questions? It's a little late. We should get to breakfast. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Assemble devotees, key.